So I've been paying attention to moments. Sometime called moments, sometime called seasons, depending on who you're talking to. And seasons in the Bible or in spiritual things are not like, you know, regular seasons like spring, winter, fall, summer. Well, I guess they kind of are and they're not. So let me just lay it down like this. I don't know how the hemisphere and the stratosphere and the atmosphere and all that stuff work. I don't know how seasons work, but I know things have to come into place or be aligned a certain way before the seasons to change, right? I'm not into all that stuff, and I don't know how it works, but I know there have been times that we look up and say, it's supposed to be summer, and it's still, you know, the weather is not right. So whatever was supposed to align to make it summer, it may be summer according to the calendar, but the season or the temperatures or the things around you are not lining up with summer. And then it also depends on where you live. I know I was in Canada and they were saying one time that there's an area there that they have long nights, like nights that go on for like, is it months, weeks, whatever? It's perpetual night for closer to Alaska, higher up Canada. But, and they were saying to me, yeah, they'll have an area where it's night for like, what, a week? Some craziness like that? But a period of time where it's just night. And so it's all about alignment of all things, but it's also about location, where you're situated. The promises of God, we all know, are seasonal. And we all, you don't know that? I mean, it's seasons. Everybody, you say it all the time. It's a season. It's my season. It's my season. Praise the Lord. Right? But I don't think what we understand about that is it may be your summer, but if your life ain't aligned, you're still getting winter weather. Positionally, if you're not where you're supposed to be, and all things are not aligned the way they're supposed to be aligned, even though it's your harvest time, you don't see a harvest in the field. It's the time that it should be, but it's not yet. So I've been talking to God about seasons. And he said, you know, some people's seasons take 10 years, 20 years. And he said, a lot of times it's not because I'm keeping it from them for that long. It's because they have not aligned themselves where I need them to be or where they need to be for that harvest to be realized or that situation to be manifested. And he took me back to a time where I was dealing with somebody who was believing, they would say they were believing for a husband. But they were in this relationship with this guy who was a mentally, emotionally abusive. And they were believing God to move while they were still there. It never happened. I was like, don't you have to leave that? I mean, if you're really believing for a son of God, maybe God don't want to bring him into your current mess. I'm not saying it can't happen. It happens on Tyler Perry movies all the time, but... You know, there he is right there cutting your grass. The one that God had for you all along. Remember what they did the Boondocks? I love me some Jesus and I love me some you. I now have been in the place this week where I've been saying to God, I sense that seasons are upon me, but I don't know if my alignment is right. I don't know if I'm in the place that I can be. In other words, you'll get a kick out of this, but it's so true. God showed me this a long time ago. God can part the Jordan for you. But if you're not where it is, what difference would it make? If you're not at the foot of the Jordan, if you're in New York and he parts the Jordan, what good is that going to do you? You need to be there when it parts. Seasons in the kingdom, I'm starting to realize, work that way. Are you prepared and where you need to be so that when God opens the door, you have what it takes to go in? You even recognize the door. So I've been asking God to help me with my season. I can look back at things that were spoken over me like 30 years ago that seems to have evaded me. And I'm coming, I think, to the realization now that I never decided that it was time enough to prepare for that moment. You meet a lot with females. They all want to be married. I'm believing for my husband. What preparation are you doing? What preparation are you doing? Are you allowing God to prepare you for a husband? We'll figure it out when we get together. But you're saying that you believe in God and you believe in God for a certain kind of husband. Are you allowing God to prepare you for that husband? I won't go into details, but we had one conversation. I said, don't do that. Don't remember the conversation? I said, stop speaking like that. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's not right, and it won't last if you keep doing that. And you're like, okay. Say no more. Never saw it again. But the preparation for the harvest is important. Is your barn big enough to collect everything God has for you, or is it going to, you're going to have to leave most of it in the field and let it rot? And even if you don't plan to take it all in, have you already put together a distribution situation where you can sow the rest of it as seed and still not let it just die in the field? The key to season is you need to be prepared for it. I planted a lot of seed. Did you also build a bigger barn? So if God brings you the harvest you're believing for, do you even have a place to put it? So your seasons become delayed. Are you listening to me? Based on not God's timing or lack thereof, but your inability to receive what he has for you. Either you delayed it by not being ready, or you're not where you need to be to collect the harvest. So I begin, as we were doing this unpacking wisdom, or how to unpack wisdom, I begin to think about seasons. What am I lacking that I'm aware of to receive what I believe God for? Who Who needs me to explain that better? Okay, you ready? Put your hand up if you want to be a millionaire. Okay, that's everybody? Okay. What would you do with $1 million if I gave it to you today? 2 million, 5 million, 10 million. What would you do with it right now if I wrote you a check for $10 million? What would you do? You see that response? You're not ready for $1 million. I'm asking a question. Stop. I'll invest money to make more money and blah, 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 blah. Not that, put it in the bank, right? So what you going to do with it in the meantime? You can't invest it. You got a check. What you going to do with the check? Cash $10 million check. You see, I'm glad you want to answer the question because now I get to show you how silly you sound. Deposit in the bank. You're going to just go to Citibank and drop your $10 million in there that only has a $200,000 FDIC insurance? You got it? You're going to come to your advisor and you're going to talk to someone? You're talking about me. Got you. All right. I'm going to charge a fee, though. You say, okay, no, but listen, I'm glad you're making these statements. This is real. I made you just realize that you don't know what to do with $10 million. Maybe if you're believing for $10 million, you should be then already preparing for what to do with it if God gave it to you. Amen. So your seasons are not aligned. And that's why it's not happening. Got it? There's a process to understanding this. What do you do with it? So I took the time to understand. Yeah, and you can't just go put it in the bank. The bank will gladly cash your check. He said, I want to invest it. Invest it how? Well, you're going to tear a piece of it off and say, here's half a piece of my check? No, you got to now set this thing up for distribution. And how do you do that? How do you do that? Invest in things. Invest in what kind of things? You know? So the questions that God begins to ask me is, what have you done to prepare for the seasons? What is the process of preparing for a husband, a wife, a business? I deal with people. I deal with people now. Who have businesses. They actually have businesses. And that business wound up being more of a curse than a blessing in some ways. Amen? It wound up biting you in the behind. Wound up making you want to jump off a bridge somewhere. Because you're believing for the substance externally without being ready in your season in heart and mind. So what did we start talking about in these past couple of months? What are you getting? Get wisdom. With wisdom, get insight. And insight, get understanding. And understanding, then you apply the knowledge of God, and then everything is successful. Well, why are we treating that like that's a general term? Because those phrases, you need to get wisdom. Why are you getting it? Any areas that you say you believe you're called to? Are you getting insight? Remember when you said you want to learn this stuff? I was like, okay, you learning it? Eh, kind of. Well, you don't really want to do it. I'll do the basics. I don't want to get rich doing that. Well, you got to learn what all the stuff that goes with it. The insight. The understanding. Sister Esther. We had this conversation before. We're having it again. The guy said, work on your foot. You got to work on your footwork. I said, do you know what that is? She was like, no. No. I said, well, we need to find out. So I said, well, how are we going to figure out what this is? So I said, does he teach a class anywhere you know? Does he do dance classes? She said, yeah. She looked it up. She found one. Good. Sign up for his class. Walk up into his class and walk straight up to his face and say, I'm here to work on my footwork. Boom. That's getting now understanding. She had insight. I need to work on my footwork. I had no understanding of what that is. And once she got the understanding, now she had the knowledge. And she took that to the next level where she could wind up being a dance captain and a choreographer. And all of this kind of stuff, it comes from taking what you believe God has called you to and allowing him to make the adjustment in you so that when the season comes, you are equipped to handle what he's given you. Real simple, but very powerful. Because the church likes to just believe. I just believe the Lord. Hallelujah. I just believe when it's God's time. Hey, shamalama lama lama. He's just going to open the door. And then what? And when that door opens, what you going to do with it? When that opportunity comes, what are you going to do with it? Because you're not prepared. Let's go back to Proverbs 11, which is where we left off. Well, we did 11 last week, so we're going to go to 12 this week. We started 12, right? Go to 12, and let's start for I'm trying to see which one I'm going to start right here. Yeah, that's where I want. I'll go there. So let's go with number 8. And I want you to pay attention to what we're about to read. A person is praised according to their prudence, and one with a warped mind is despised. Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. Come on, walk with me. The righteous care for the needs of their animals, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. Those who work their land have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. What's in common with each one of those verses we read? What's the common thread or the common statement? That's a real question. One is preparation, somebody doing work, and the other is, and then you stopped. But they're just letting it go, going with the wind. Anybody else? That's correct, but it's more to it. We're unpacking wisdom here. What's the common thread in these points? Huh? If? Yeah, that's a common thread in it, yeah. There's an if condition. But there's a common point. You're giving up? Yo, come on, dig it. Don't get super spiritual. Just look at the common point that's being made. Yes, Esther. You don't have to exalt yourself. That's not the common point. That's one of the points in there. But there's a common idea in all of those verses. Show. Right. So if you do things right, you prosper. If you do half things half fast, that's the way you say it, the clean way, half fast. Right. So the common thread is what he's saying. Listen close. So basically it comes down to still understanding who you are outside of pretending that you are. You see the common thread? So like you said, if you do things with a commitment to learning about what it is you're called to do and do versus those who pretend to do. Let me give you an example that goes outside of the scriptural poetic side of it. People in here have jobs. How many of you have jobs? How many of you feel that you know everything you need to know about the job you do? How many feel like I'm learning enough to not get fired? Okay, so you know a little bit more than just that? So you know just enough to not get fired with a little added to it. No, are you understand what I'm saying? I'm pointing something out. When I joined the salon business, I went online and I looked up and found out about these lace front wigs. And I looked at them, and I looked at videos to see how it works and how they do it. And I came back to my partner and said, why aren't we doing that? She said, I know about them. I'm like, I don't care that you know about them. Why aren't we doing it? This is the new thing. Why aren't we doing it? I'm now part of a products company. And I'm being asked to help take this company to the moon. What do you think I'm doing? Sitting home, saying, well, I know how to rub the oil on me. I know the names of the different smells. No, I'm now saying, God, teach me about this business and everything I need to know. Listen to me, not just to get it going, but to keep it going. I'm going to be learning as long as I'm doing it. I'm going to be learning as long as I'm doing it. And then I'm going to take what I'm learning from this business and learn how to apply it to that business and take what I learned from that business and apply it to this business. And every step of the way is gaining insight, understanding, so I can have the knowledge of God. There is no success for people who find a comfortable place and park. The success you have is it. So if you're an actor and you can sing a certain way and that's all you can do, then you better sit back and wait and pray that somebody wants somebody to do that one thing you do. And if that never happens, you're done. Or then you're going to get on the creative side like Madea did, and he created his own world to promote the character that he knew how to do. I want somebody to love my character. Ain't nobody hiring me to wear this dress and do this. I'm going to then create my own world where I can promote my own character, which means he had to learn. I've watched his videos. Set design, script writing, lighting, structure, staging, how you come in, how you go off, all this kind of stuff that he learned to do by himself. Because when opportunity came, he didn't want to be stuck outside anywhere. Everything about wisdom demands you to grow continually. Amen. There's not a magic thing you get. You know how many people come to me and say, okay, so tell me what you did. I want to learn real estate. Tell me what you did. Right now? Just one thing. That's it. So you're going to sit here right now, and I'm going to tell you one thing and you're going to be proficient. You're going to go out now and buy and flip you a house. Just like that. Wow. Took me years and years and years, but I'm just going to tell you what I did. Seasons manifest when you are where you're supposed to be and equipped. Like I said, this is a somber message. I mean, a solid message today. And a lot of jumping and shouting. But I've been looking at why I, not even just you, have received some things in my life and not others. And I come to the realization the things I applied myself to gave God the opportunity to open doors. So I'll pick Kwame for a second. You a trainer. Are you the same trainer you were 10 years ago? And if you are, you're going to make the same money that you made 10 years ago. So what did you do to expand your brand, your style, your approach to increase your awareness? I ain't even talking about just in the market. I'm talking about just of yourself. So those who work with their hands have abundant food. Those who chase fantasies have no sense. What are fantasies? Let's cover this. Because this can be taken out of control. Those who work with their hands means you got to work hard all day, every day, you know, 18 hours a day. That can even be chasing a fantasy. It's not talking about working long hours. So let's take this scripture right here and let's unpack this one verse until I believe we have a clear understanding. Okay? Those who work with work their land have abundant food. Those who chase fantasies have no sense. Let's take that apart. Those who work their land. Now, I'm going to be putting it out on the floor a lot today because I want to make sure we're not just hearing me teach something and getting excited. Last week was an excitement week. This is okay, we're doing a pretest. What does it mean by that? Those who work their land. Yes, Shel. Those who prepare their harvest. I like that. I need more. Nellie? This is working your land. Keep coming. But that right there. Keep coming. I want more. Yes, Mike. So the pruning before you start sowing, getting your ground ready and prepare it. Yes, this is true. This is it. Keep coming. What else you got? Esther. Perfecting your craft. I'm loving these answers. Any more? This is good. Everybody's correct. But not any one of them, but all of them. You should know your land and what it can produce. I got land, okay. Is it potato land or tomato land? You know, what kind of ground, what kind of climate, where are you? You know, when I was in Florida, I saw these palm trees, and I was like, I would love to be able to take one of those back and put it in my yard. Well, it wouldn't last. It's not made for that climate. I know what kind of climate I have, and it's mostly rocks and mountain. So you don't get a good, like I know no matter how many times we brought people in to put dirt down and to put seed at the house, it just don't grow right. More other stuff grows than grass. But in Allentown, it's a different climate. The grass grows so fast, I'm like, I want to see if I can bring some of that over here to cut down how fast this grass grows. It grows full, rich, and lush. So we had to finally decide at the house, the kind of green that comes up is the kind of green that's supposed to be there. Just leave it alone. Let it be. Stop trying to, it's going to keep coming back. So just cut it down and just, it's green, whatever that stuff is that's not grass mixed in with the grass. Do you know what your gift is? And how you're supposed to be using it to the fullest? Have you walked your land and learned what your land is? Are you? Am I boring you, or are you? What is the skill set that God has given you? It took me almost 40 years to figure mine out, and that's a doggone shame, or more than 40 years. My point is, what is the skill set? And actually, what's your job? Actually, what's your skill set? And if your skill set is on a job, it's still a skill set that you should know the full land. You should know the full scope. What's the position above yours and above yours and above yours and above yours, and then what's the road to that? And do you want to get there? We stop God from blessing us because of lack of preparation. It ain't about a God's timing thing. This is what this whole message is about today. God is never lost for time. The harvest is plenteous. Are you listening to me? But the laborers are few. So when Jesus made that statement, that spoke something to me, and I start tying it into this message. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. See, I got a big harvest, but I don't have enough laborers. And I remember saying, God, but there's a lot. There's supposed to be a Christian nation in the world. And he said, no, no, no. I said, the laborers are few. Yeah, but you got a lot of believers. Yeah, but not skilled laborers. You got a lot of people standing around, but not a lot of people skilled. So I can't send them in the field to do the harvesting, because even though they are bodies, they're not talents. So God gave me this revelation, and I share this. This was just yesterday. I said, God, I don't feel motivated to do music. I haven't for months. It's starting to bother me, because that's for me is therapy. But I'm involved in all of these businesses, and I'm doing them, and I'm doing good here. And look, this opportunity, and this is growing. God's blessing this. But I said, I feel like something is missing. Because I don't feel I have a place to come and rest my sanity right now. What's going on? And God said something to me that I want to share with you. He said to me, I gave you a song a couple of weeks ago. I said, yeah. He said, well, why don't you go in there and start working in it and see if the rest of the creativity that you're looking for comes back. And he said these words to me. Inspiration comes from me. It's your job to seek out motivation. I need to explain that? I give you the inspiration. You seek out the motivation. It's not my job to motivate you. So when I decided to go into diversity, when the word was spoken over me, that was inspiration. So what did I do? I connected with Eric, and I connected with Tommy, and I connected with Scott, and I connected with these people who were in it and said, show me the ropes. And they begin to show me it. I begin to get more insight, more understanding, and looking at some articles. The articles didn't really help me so much, because I'm not really an article person. I'm more visual and auditory. And I'm like, talk to me. Say, tell me, this is your skill set. This is your gift. This is what you're good at. This is what you do. And I said, fine. So I spoke to a gentleman last week. And I said to him, listen, he reached out to me. Like, I reached out to him in the beginning. He really wasn't much help. He said he had his other things to do in his life and his own thing. I was like, okay, I can't bother him. You know, he's busy. He's not helping. This person, never happened. never returned my calls, never responded to my emails. Okay, fine. Now that I run into them again, I've done a diversity board, I got a couple articles written up in magazines, I got all this kind of stuff happen, and my response to them was, so how you like me now? That's literally what I said, how you like me now? I said, I told you I was going to do this. And I looked at the kind of money that's made. And I'm telling you, it's going to look real silly that when the year 2021 comes around in the first quarter, then I'm making more money in this than you are, and you've been doing it for 15 years. And then the beautiful thing came. Hey, how about we do something together? And laid a $200,000 contract out. Said, this is something in front of us. You want to do it? Because you have a skill set and an approach to this that we don't have. And we think that you would be a plus on this. And I said, really? And what is that skill set I have? Because I don't know. I'm new, but I'm gaining insight. And I'm letting other people tell me that I experienced this in this, what my gift is. And I'm learning my land. I'm not saying, well, I'm just doing this ground. You put seed in it. I'm saying, what kind of ground? What's the acid content of the soil? What side of the land produces better for this vegetable versus this fruit? I'm looking into it because God requires that of us. And that's where you find your motivation. So sitting there waiting for God to motivate you is stupidity. That's fantasies. That's fantasies. When God is ready to open the door, well, what are you doing in preparation for him to open the door? Because does not the scripture say faith without works is dead? So what are you doing to see the manifestation of what you believe in God for? That, my dear brothers and sisters, is the difference between working your land and chasing fantasies. I just believe, hallelujah, in his time, and when he's ready, I'm just going to be wealthy and my business is going to succeed. What business? The business that God told me I'm going to do 20 years ago. And what have you done? I'm just waiting on Jesus. So you want God to start the business for you too? You want him to incorporate you? Really? You're not going to do anything? That's a fantasy chaser. God will give you inspiration. And everyone in this room, and if everybody watched me online, has had God inspire us at one place in our life. But because we didn't seek motivation, or we did for a moment and got discouraged and let it go, we've never seen the season come to bring the harvest we're believing for. It is our job to consistently put ourselves in a place to be motivated by God. It is our responsibility to seek out God in the three dimension as well as in the spirit realm. Amen. It's our job to change and grow. Well, I don't really know what to do. I bet you if you was evicted and homeless tomorrow, you would figure out what to do. You waiting for desperation to teach you, and that's where that lie was born in the church. You got to go through stuff. And God got to let you go through stuff. That's how you're going to learn. That's where that lie came from. No, you decided that you would not move until desperation forced you to. And now you're eating the fruit of those decisions. I'm not getting a lot of amens, but So, God said to me, many people's seasons have come in the realm of the spirit, right here in this house. Yes, I'm talking to you right here. But you have not allowed yourself to be equipped with insight and understanding on top of the wisdom so that he could give you his knowledge. You have not sought to be motivated. You want to chase fantasies. Fantasies mean I just want to seek and see everything in prayer. And I want to get chills and goosebumps when the word is spoken over me again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And you're an author. I see God doing the thing. Yes, yes. And then that prayer meeting is over and you don't pick up a pen or a pad or anything and start trying to write a sentence to be an author. God's just going to drop a book on you one day. No preparation. That's a fantasy chaser. I'm going to be rich just because. Yes. Hey. I'm not talking about, and I want to wrap it up with this. I'm not talking about running around in anxiety. That's not what God called you to. It's foolish to rise up early and go to bed late and eat the bread of anxious toil, for God blesses his beloved, those he loves, in their sleep. I'm talking about positioning. I'm talking about positioning. Say, he's not talking about busy work. He's talking about positioning. I immediately begin to say, God, and if you want me in here, in diversity, what do I need to do and what kind of people do I need to connect with? I need mentors. And I went seeking them. And I got rejected. But I kept seeking. And you'll watch the Facebook live show, they both said, I've been in here 30 years, he's been here 25 years, and we're declaring today that you are an expert and you are ready. Now, everything inside of me was like, yeah, that's easy for you to say. But I chose, because of where God seasonally positioned me, to say, then let me act like that's true. And let me still do my research. And then I got with my team and said, okay, we need to start looking into what we need to do to start booking some gigs then. If they're saying I'm already professional and I'm already ready to do this, then we need to start putting together a proposal to submit and learn how to book gigs. Are you listening to me? This is everybody here is in this room is doing stuff they've been probably doing over a decade. This is something I've been doing for 7 months. So I called my mentors. I want to know, what's your process of doing a presentation? So I'll send you one. I'll send you one of my presentations. It's pretty much like this. You change a little this and that each time. I'll send it to you. Boom. Emailed it. Wow. What's your contracts look like? I'll send you one right now. I said, I'll change it up. You know, I won't, you know, copy a thing. He said, I don't care. You can use it just like it is. You can do the whole presentation just the way I said it to you if you want. I said, well, you know, like you said, my style is a little different. He said, yeah, but I'm just letting you know. I'm giving it to you. Then I called my other mentor, Tommy. Tommy, help a brother out. I know you're a little bit different than E. He said, yeah. Said a lot of stuff very similar. This is who you are. This is where your strength is. This is the way you need to approach it. I believe this is the market for you. And let me send you some stuff so you can look at it. I'm unpacking it. I'm going through what I need to go through to make it a reality. A lot of y'all get up every day and you'll just do the work that you're used to doing every day. So when you say to me, no, I'm not just doing just enough to keep from getting fired, I guarantee you a lot of you still are. You don't think you are, but you are. Because if you're not learning how to run the company or you're not learning how to put yourself in a situation where the thing don't work without you, or you're such an integral part of what it is, then you're not learning all you need to know. My partners don't want me to leave. It would affect the business if I left, even in hair, and I don't even do the hair. But I keep unpacking and learning the land. And I need you to understand something. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you to learn a land, your land. I'm having to learn everybody's land. All my partners are coming to me saying, here's my land. Learn it. I'm just asking you one. Find one and master it. Know what it is to know about your land. Unpack all the wisdom you can unpack. Learn it. Other than that, you're just chasing folly. You're running after fantasies. Praying and believing and the claiming and the fasting and the praying and believing and getting the group together and in intercessors and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it's fantasies. It's fantasies. I don't want to pick on them again, but I'm just going to make a little mention. A lot of my brothers and stuff in Christ out there didn't do the homework. They didn't walk the land. Because they wouldn't have been screaming that 45 is supposed to stay. They took what was in front of them and they ran with it. They didn't unpack. They didn't look at the whole land. They chased a fantasy. And it imploded in their faces. Now they got to get on things and apologize. I wasn't trying to make fun. We love everybody. And now you got to clean up the poo-poo. But for those of them who are doing it, which are very few, here it is. So either God lied or you were wrong. Don't chase the fantasies. Know your land. Work your land. Most of you have one land in front of you. Know it. You're getting distracted by this thing and that thing and relationships and friendships and arguments and family and all this stuff that the enemy will throw at you to keep you from mastering your land. If you can't do that by distraction, are you listening to me? He'll do it by comfort. Make you so comfortable where you are that you don't seek nothing else. Either way, you're not learning your land. And you're not going to become everything God has called you to. I'll read it one more time. I'm going to call it a day. Did you learn something? I said, this is the pretest. I want to make sure we're ready. Before I read it, because this is the last time I read it, then I'm ending. I just want to put this out there for you. So look at me. Me, I'm over here. I'm very proud of you guys. And I'm proud of how you guys have really been in this past couple of seasons of lessons, walking through and taking to heart what's being taught. This season past and the season present has been really to equip you guys to run, to stop sitting. And so many of you have come to me and said, I've been a fool and I'm ready to make these changes and do what I need to do. I'm ready to take the steps necessary. That makes me really excited because you know your time with me is coming to an end. And if that's what it took to make you wake up, then amen. But I want you to keep that energy. I want you to never lose that energy. You're not too young, you're not too old. I want you to never lose this energy. When God gives you something, not through fretting, not through craziness, not through working yourself to death till you pass out, that's not God's call for you. Your job is to be in the place of wisdom at all times so that God can reveal the insights to you, that you may find the understanding. Then he will unleash his knowledge on you. He'll unveil it to you. And that's why whatever I touch prospers and will continue to prosper. But God showed me I need you to scout the land wider because I want to go higher with you and I need a wider foundation. You know the land that you know well. I need you to spread out. And that's where I am today. So I'm saying to you, God's job is to give you inspiration. Your job is to seek out motivation. And if you feel yourself getting deadlocked, do it again. Start over. Start seeking again. I tell people all the time, I've never had writer's block. There's been times that I've just not been motivated. But writer's block, I'll write a song right now on a piece of cardboard, banging on a wall. I'm never, even if it's a dumb song, I have blocks. How are you going to have a creative block when you have the Creator living inside of you? You're not seeking motivation. Those who work their land know your land. Will have abundant food, not a meal to eat, not enough to pay your bills. Lord, I thank you for this unemployment thing. Yeah, okay, but it said, work your land so that you have abundant food. They cut me off, told me I can't get no more checks way, way back. And I was like, okay, God, well, we're going to get some checks somewhere else. Amen. And we had. But those who chase fantasies have no sense. Well, as the first scriptures we read, those who lack correction, those who don't are stupid. It's the same thing. Stupid, have no sense. All the same stuff. We use them as synonyms. Say, I am not stupid. And I refuse to be senseless. I will learn to work the land that God has given me. And from this moment forward, I confess, I claim, and I speak to myself that I have abundance. In Jesus' name. Now take this with you. Notice how all these scriptures keep coming back to the original word. Wisdom, insight, peace, and prosperity. There it is again. You can't escape it. God wants you to have all of that in abundance. You don't have to beg for it. It's yours. Amen. Amen. Amen.